It is Thursday, May 25. Morning, everyone. The Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, Radio Tab Network. Hope you're having a good morning wherever and however you are listening. Some sad news overnight. The lady who fronted, quite possibly, well, certainly the greatest rugby league promotion in rugby league history, certainly in this country, possibly the best sporting promotion in Australian sports history. Tina Turner, the great Tina Turner, has sadly passed away at the age of 83 after a long illness at her home in Switzerland. Morning to you, Lozza.
Yeah, morning, Middo. Morning, Pup. Morning, everybody. Yeah, that's some sad news. Tina Turner passing away overnight. Wow, what a performer she was. But also, with rugby league, the association she had coming out here to Australia, I think 89 and early 90s, with her campaign that really got rugby league into the spotlight again. And it was at its most popular after those ads. It certainly attracted a lot more women to the game. And that's what the administrators were trying to do at that particular time. What you see is what you get was the first one and then simply the best. I think you're right, Mido. I think it's the best sporting campaign I've seen in this country. And it certainly helped rugby league no ends. And it's sad when you lose an icon like Tina Turner. A lot of people would have watched her career, know a lot of her songs, would have sung away along with those songs, and a lot of people would have obviously seen her in concert as well. So, yeah, sad news this morning.
Pup, morning to you, mate. When you think of, you know, sporting campaigns, advertising campaigns, oh, I just don't think any matched. When you think that 30 years later we all still remember simply the best, what you get is what you see.
Yeah.
30 years? Hang on, let me just check that. Yep, 30. Unreal. I think since Simply the Best, there's been none other like it in Australia, I would say, in sport. Morning to you.
Yeah, agree. Mido, morning. Morning, boys. Morning to our listeners. Yeah, very sad. In saying that, where do I sign for 83? I'll take that. What a life she's had. That soundtrack, that song when it comes on, you just straight away think of rugby league. Very special for her to be a part of one of Australia's greatest sports, and I think rugby league would feel absolutely blessed. As Loz said, just through that era, throughout that time, just brought new people, new fans to the game, and still every time you hear that song come on, to me, I just think of rugby rugby league.
Yeah.
So significant. So, yeah, very, very sad, Mido. But
good knock.
83 years of age, I think that's worth celebrating for sure.
Definitely. We've got a game of footy on tonight between the Dolphins and the Dragons at Redcliffe.
I feel like it's Friday today.
Maybe we can make it Friday.
Maybe that's wishful thinking.
Get a bit loose. Make it Friday.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like, has it been a long week?
No, I don't think it has.
Okay.
I don't think it has been a
long night for you, maybe.
Yeah.
No, I was snoring with my daughter at 9. So, yeah, early one, but don't know.
Some weeks you have that.
Yeah.
Some days you wake up and it feels like you've been in here forever.
Yeah.
Some days they just fly.
I feel like we need an OB.
Well, we've got one coming up. We've got one coming up down to Adelaide, which is good. And then we're off to Brisbane, I think, for game 2.
We are.
So we're travelling a little bit in the coming weeks. So that's exciting. I always love a road trip.
Can you organise something in France or something for us?
Well, I'm considering going to France, south of France, Saint-Tropez, for the Rugby World Cup. Don't know how my...
Sounds awful.
5:30 a.m. starts. I don't know what the time difference is. I don't know how that's going to work out. I'm probably going to speak to the bosses here. But yeah, I'm thinking about it.
One of the great spots of the world, isn't
it?
Oh,
mate, my favourite. South of France is unbelievable. And to have a sporting event like that on there just gives you another excuse, I guess. It's early September, I think it is.
Yeah, September, October. Yeah. A lot of Aussies certainly will be going over there. Hopefully the team can back up the support they're going to get, because a lot of people will make that trip.
Well, surely they're going to make at least the quarterfinals.
If they don't make the quarterfinals,
in any World Cup, it's a disaster, I suppose, if you don't make the World quarterfinals. And in particular in rugby, we should be in the top 8.
Definitely.
You know, top 8 in the world. So you should get there. And with the draw we have, and the way that the other nations are playing, surely we're a massive hope to play final, semi-final football.
Yeah, it's tough for grabs.
Like we're in the right side of the draw.
Yeah, we are, Lord.
There's no Ireland, there's no New Zealand.
Yeah, I need to go back and have a look, exactly.
And there's no England, I don't think.
I need to check. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, I know Ireland and New Zealand, definitely.
Well, Ireland and France, they're virtually favourites.
I think it might be France as well. I think they're all in the same side of the draw.
Well, that would suit us. Still, when you get to the quarterfinal stage, knockout stage, anything can happen.
Yeah.
And we were absolutely pantsed by England 4 years ago in Japan. Steve says, morning, guys. The two best sporting advertising campaigns were Tina Turner, simply the best for rugby league, and Come On Aussie for cricket, of course. It was iconic,
World
Series, wasn't it?
That was unreal.
Yeah.
Well, the old boys with their buttons undone and gold necklaces on and hairy chests, DK. Rodney.
Well, that was more how do you feel, wasn't it? Was it the old Tui's one?
Tui's,
oh,
yeah.
I remember that.
Mike Whitney.
I was a bit young for that one.
Mike Whitney diving across the line to get the run.
The last run.
Yeah.
Great fellow, Whit.
Yeah, but Come On Aussie, Come On. That's iconic, isn't it? But I think still think simply the best stands out above them all.
Certainly for me it does.
Yeah. It might be a generational thing.
Yeah.
But...
yeah. Yeah, it's... That whole era, it was very different. Like I felt like
it's more iconic.
Even growing up, playing club cricket, you felt like, you know, if you wanted to bowl like Dennis Dilley or bat like Alan Ball, like you felt like you knew the player, they were, for me, they were like your dad or your best mate or your cousin. Like you feel like when you sit on the couch and watch them. It was like you were at the ground with them. Like you got to know the athlete so well. Nothing was protected. Like remember DK? Who did DK kick? Pakistan? Was it Javed Mendat? Like imagine if that happened on a cricket field now.
He kicked. He also had the aluminium bat, didn't he?
Yep.
DK had the aluminium bat.
Like just
Terry Orman tackled the fan.
Yeah, bust his shoulder, pop his shoulder. Yeah. Like nothing was held back. It was warts and all. You got it.
I wonder now, kids now, because I reckon back then, pup, you knew who everyone's favourite player was by what bat they had. Yeah. Alan Border, Duncan Fernley,
100%.
Mark
Dean
Hall,
Jones,
B100.
Kookaburra.
Kookaburra.
Yeah. Mark Waugh, Slazenger for sure. Yeah, of course.
Does that still happen?
I don't know. I feel like it's everything in general is way more protected now. You know, I feel like you could send one of seven players to do a press conference, and their answers would be exactly the same. I don't think you get to know the individual as much as what you used to. And the other thing as well, like even little things, like when I first started playing, if you weren't playing for Australia, then you're playing for New South Wales. If you weren't playing for New South Wales, then you're playing for Western Suburbs. Like you didn't get a choice. It was just what you did. I actually saw, and the reason I guess that probably reminded me, I saw Marnus Labuschagne post something. The boys must be finished their county games now. So he's over playing for Glamorgan. This is his fourth season at Glamorgan. And I think of when I grew up, that was what you did. After the Australian cricket season, you got on an aeroplane, April, went to England, played for a county team, and that become like your second home. Build a family and friendship base. So your whole family support was really your cricket teams. Whether it was West, New South Wales, Australia. Yeah. And I think that allowed you, like so many more people got to see you and play sport with you and you meet different people. But I don't know, these days it's, somebody came out the other day, I can't remember what current Australian player it was, and said, I save all my bowling overs for Australia or Victoria, that's it. It might have been Scotty Boland.
Jeez.
Yeah, and I was like,
it's
mate,
very different, isn't it?
So different to what it used to be like.
I don't have many regrets about my footy career, but one of them I do have is not going over to England and playing a season over there. And when I first started, because their competition was run in the winter, but it's changed now to the summer.
Yeah.
So a lot of players used to finish the season here.
Go over.
And then go over
same
and
as
play.
Cricket,
and then come back in late January or mid-Feb, and then get straight back into the NRL season. And I signed twice for a club. I signed with Wakefield, and I got injured at the end of 88. Oh, and then I got injured, it might have been 90, to sign with Wigan. Actually, three times. And then witness when Dougie Lawton was coach. So I had three opportunities, and then I just got injured at the wrong time.
Oh, okay.
And the club wanted me to stay back, get myself right. To start the following season. But, yeah, it was always a big regret of mine.
Well, it can't be a regret because you had the intention to. It's just your body didn't let
body never didn't allow me. And the fact that when you went away on a kangaroo tour and was able to play and sample what it was like just gave you that craving to want more. But unfortunately, I just never got to do it. Mm. But I would have loved to because the crowds are completely different in England to what they are here in Australia.
Yeah.
And when you live in those communities, in particular the rugby league towns up in the north of England, they're just fanatical rugby league supporters. Mm-hmm. And it's not a big game over there, but the little townships get right behind their team. It's like country football, basically, here in Australia.
It is one thing we've got to tip our cap to the Poms. Their support is next level. Man. Something I envy.
Well, you can turn up to a game with 5,000 or 6,000 people there, and it feels like there's 20,000 people there.
Yeah.
I love the grounds. Like, the county cricket grounds are unbelievable.
Just nice and tiny, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. It's like, it's first grade. It's Bankstown Oval, Pratton Park. Mm. You know, it's first grade cricket, and you get good crowds there. Yeah. I think if I was ever going to get into coaching, that's where I reckon I'd go. I'd go and do... Because they have, I think they've got like a, must have like an under 19 or under 17. Like so they've got a system through that whole county club. So you could help with the youngsters as well. I reckon that would be a beautiful place to live in the summer. I love London as well. The UK in the summer, unreal. UK in the winter, get me the hell out of
there. I didn't realise the first time I went over there, because I never had an opportunity to go middle of the year to the summer over there while I was playing. Until 1997 with the Super League. We went over there halfway through the year and I didn't realise that the sun over there didn't go down until really late at night.
At night.
So 10 o'clock at night. I remember sort of walking out of this pub and I'm going, geez, I thought it was a lot later than this. Yeah. And it felt like it was about 6-7 o'clock at night. And I looked at my watch and it was like 10 o'clock and I think, no, surely.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
It is. When you
and their whole pub culture is unreal. Yeah. Drink outside the pub like every day. All the locals are there. Yeah, it's in the summer. If you get good weather, there's not many better places. Yeah. I reckon
it's just a different feeling when you walk out and it's just daylight at 10 o'clock at night.
Look out! It's dangerous.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And as far as other sporting campaigns, should have mentioned this one. Up there, Kazali for the AFL.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We've had a few texts. Rusty Bunnies, the Canberra Chicken as well.
Oh, and, would that be bigger?
Couple. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one of those.
Melbourne,
absolute divide, you know.
I'll tell you what I do like. With Up There, Kazali when they played on Grand Final Day. Like, there used to be a rugby league song that they had too. Many years ago. And I'd love to see that come back on Grand Final Day. And it was a real tune that you would sing along to and everyone used to get in. I forget what it was called, but it was like some of the lyrics was like, you know, whether you're at the cricket ground, Lang Park or the bush, you still got to run, you still got to tackle, and in the scrums you got to say push. You hit them hard. It was a really, really good song, catchy song. But I'd love to see that brought back on Grand Final Day, a bit like what the AFL do with Up There, Gazali. So,
Shy Raz points out, and the worst, that blow that whistle ref,
Tommy
Thomas
Keneally.
Yeah, that was not Tommy's fault. He was asked to do it.
So that was around Super League ARL, wasn't it?
I think it was around 97 ARL.
I think it was.
Yeah, it was poor.
Yeah, I think it tried to pull on the heartstrings.
Tina was still... Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Tina was still very much at the forefront of our minds.
I don't think... Well, I might be wrong, but I don't think they'll ever have another campaign like that, the NRL.
No.
You know what? I would love to see it come back and used again, but I don't know whether they would. I don't know why, but I reckon if they brought that campaign back, it'd just work so well.
The one that was all right, was it... What's My Team?
Yeah, Hootagurus.
Hootagurus, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. I think they reworded the song suit...
Not What's My Scene, What's My
What's
Team.
What's My Team, to suit the game. And I think Alan Wilson was behind that too, former Cronulla
star. That was okay.
Star. Yeah, no, I like that. Oh, gun ban too.
Oh, yeah. Naturally, it's Origin build-up in full swing. Everyone gets a story. Leading into game one next Wednesday night, back page of the telly, Reece Trapp, Blues will paint a massive target on error-prone Walsh. Back page of the Herald, unleashed Trill. Latrell Mitchell, of course, talking about, well, remember he basically said he's not available in a post-match interview ahead of game three last year. He played no part last year, if you remember, in that series. So he's going to be ready to rock.
Oh, he'll be enormous for New South Wales. And he comes in with form behind him too. And he's got that swagger about him at the moment, Latrell.
Definitely.
So he's really confident on top of his game. Then you've also got Tom, who wasn't there. Addo Carr wasn't there, the Fox. So they've just got strike, New South Wales. I love young Reece Walsh, but there's no doubt about it, they'll put a price on his head.
Hmm.
Yeah, they'll test him under the high ball, and they'll shoot through and try and hit him as he's catching the ball. They'll present a good line, a strong line on kick returns. And they'll try and, you know, unsettle him. But I will say this, if you're going to make your debut, if you're a Queenslander, you know, obviously Lang Park would be the best place to do it, feed off the atmosphere, but also playing in Adelaide, because it won't have that intense cauldron-like feel. So, and even, you know, anyone making their debut from New South Wales, you either at home is the best place, or play at a ground that is not up there in Queensland.
The neutral
venue. It's so much easier. You don't want to be making your debut at Lang Park. You'd be put under a lot of pressure there.
And I'm sure that ground can swallow you up if you lose confidence very, very quickly.
Can swallow you up very quickly. I remember my debut up there.
Oh, I hate to mention it. Oh, I was at the game when poor old Nathan Merritt played.
Oh, were you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, mate, mine wasn't much better. I think we were on the end of the biggest ever scoreline in Queensland history.
What were you, 18?
Yeah, but I remember marking Mal and thinking, oh, this will be all right. He's my club captain. He'll look after me. But I had stud marks down the front of me. Mal scored more points for Queensland than any other player at that stage in the history of the game.
I'm sure you would have been playing against the great Gene Miles, who we're going to have on later this morning as well.
Yeah, what a player. I know we talk about Mal, but Gene was a great player. Yeah. They were a great centre combination. Jeez, how good.
Gee, I'll tell you what, when you talk centre combos, Miles and Meninga.
Can
you think of anyone better off the
top
of your
head?
Well,
the only other ones I can think of is Rogers, Cronin. They're a good combination. Then more recently, possibly Hodges Inglis.
Oh, yeah.
They were very good.
I'd still take Miles and Meninga.
Yeah, Miles and Meninga. They'd still be up there. Well, Cronin and Rogers, though, they were sensational as well.
Back page of the Courier Mail, Hammer. Hammer time. Hammer's time is the headline. And, well, Hammer so Tabuai for dough. Gee, I tell you what, you talk about talent. Gun schoolboy rugby player. Gun AFL player. Could have gone any which way. And, of course, he will be in the centres for Queensland on Wednesday night. So just a yarn on him there. But we'll talk. By the way, Loz, just on the Origin, can you just tell us the odds with Tab for game one? We've had a few texts for those who caught the end of NRL 360 last.
It was one of those moments where, you know what I did? I wrote down the wrong odds for the different teams.
On your little sheet.
So I did like a Ron Burgundy. I read the odds out, and then as soon as I read it out, I thought, that can't be right. So I wrote down New South Wales at $2.25 and Queensland at $1.67. So when I read it out, I went, no, that can't be right. And then I looked at the sheet, and then I saw New South Wales $2, and I thought, oh, well, it must be right, $2.25. But in my head, I was going, no, that can't be right. So I chopped and changed.
So what'd you go
times.
With?
Well, in the end, I had no idea because I confused myself.
Isn't it your segment?
It is my segment.
So if you have no idea.
Yeah, but the poor bloke, he's then got to read out by cooked. Legally a gambling helpline. Which
so
is
I'm thinking more about
like
the gambling line.
Oh, no.
Because usually the odds just, yeah. But it was my fault because I wrote it down wrong. But I had one of those Ron Burgundy moments where you just read what you'd written down. And I knew it was wrong.
So once you found out, once you confirmed it was wrong, what'd you do?
Well,
it was too late.
Put your hand up and laugh.
Yeah, okay. Mm. Mm. Was this on Fox 360 or whatever?
NRL 360.
NRL 360. Yeah. Oh, that happens.
Your bed
it?
Got a mention too.
My bed?
In the green room.
I bet it did.
Now, Loz, that song you were mentioning, Denny McMaster.
Yeah, that's him.